each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Giving Tony a little bit of a taste of his medicine, right?
We're even, Father.
Yeah, I told Jasmine, I said, you know, go ahead and... can you bring me down coffee? And they said, oh, I didn't realize we got a little bit of time here. It was only 11:53. And so then Frank came out, we started talking.
Of course, that's how it goes.
And all of a sudden I looked at my watch and I said, it's time. It's time. So she should be here with the coffee. Not that I expect her to make the coffee, but...
No, but that's
what... But that's what she does.
Right, she does.
She likes to do that.
She chooses to do that.
She chooses to do it. How are you? By the way, were you in the procession yesterday?
Oh, no, that was yesterday, right?
Yeah, it was so...
Oh, missed it.
Beautiful.
Had to work. I know there was a reason.
It was so beautiful.
Oh, that's great. I went to the last...
Yeah, a word of thanks to everybody who participated, because it was... I wish the Pope... And the prelates
saw
this. It was so beautiful. We call this Our Lady's Triangle. So we've got the St. John Cantius is just the opposite side of the expressway, and then we're Holy Trinity and St. Stan's are on the same block, actually, but to a couple of blocks away, the same street, I should say, on Noble Street. And so what they're doing in the Archdiocese of Chicago with this Renew My Church is they're merging parishes and closing parishes. And but I prayed for this every day. And, you know, we prayed at Mass for this this grouping because of the question was always, you know, who's going to get closed? Who's going to merge and all that? And we prayed for protection because we're all thriving in a sense. You know, it's not like the old days when you had, you know, the packed, every Mass was packed and you had lots of nuns and lots of priests. No, it's not like that. Although they do, Jasmine, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it very, very much. Where are you going? Okay. He just disappeared. What was I talking about, Nick? The procession, we didn't know what was going to happen. And by God's grace, by God's grace and through Our Lady's intercession, and any time I say by God's grace or by Our Lady's intercession, it's the Blessed Virgin Mary lives but to do the will of God. So you can't separate, I say, the mother from the son, the king from the queen. And so, by God's grace, it worked out so that all three of our parishes were basically untouched.
That's good.
St. Holy Trinity is homogeneous. It's all Polish. So, and they're booming. They've got lots of people. It's a unique mission.
It's interesting. They come from all over.
All over.
Which is
all these parishes
beautiful.
Here. Yeah. So they've got, because they have Polish nuns and they've got Polish priests. The Society of Christ, and then, of course, St. John Cantius, which is kitty-corner from us. When I got here to St. Stan's, Father Frank was pastor there already. He was pastor, and, you know, the church was, it was, all these churches were basically falling apart completely. And the Society of Christ rebuilt Holy Trinity. And you have to say thanks to the people who, way back then, when Cardinal Bernardine was the prelate here in Chicago, they wanted to close Holy Trinity because it really it was just dilapidated. It was falling apart, and there were very, very, very few people. But the people nonetheless fought, and so in order to save it, he brought in the Society of Christ, a group of priests and nuns from Poland, and they and then that became a Polish mission church. That's why it's really homogeneous. It's all Polish. There's nothing in English, nothing in Spanish. And so they rebuilt and renovated, restored, not renovated because it's not a renovation but a restoration. It's absolutely beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And so, and then at the same time, St. John Cantius, which was across on the other side of the expressway, was again very, very few people. Yeah. People that were still left in the neighborhood. The neighborhood was, you know, had really gone down, and there was just almost nothing there. And but they rebuilt that. Not only did they rebuild the church, but they started the this religious community under the episcopacy of Cardinal George. And they're just booming, and now their focus is, but it's not just the Tridentine Mass, the extraordinary form of the Mass, but their theme is the restoration of the sacred, and so they've had people come from all over, not just all over Chicago, but from all over the world. They're known very well as a kind of a center, a worldwide center for the restoration of the sacred, to safeguard the Tridentine Mass, the extraordinary form. But they also do the Novus Ordo, which is the form of the Mass that came into being after the or during and after the Second Vatican Council. So what they've got is young people, young guys. They had so many servers. In the precision, and everything they do, it's done with precision, perfection, and then of course we have always been. When I came here, I'm 31 years here, 37 years a priest, so this is only my second assignment. But when I came, we were about 85% recent immigrants from Mexico. It had been very Puerto Rican, but before that, but it was by tradition, the first immigrant Polish parish. I mean, this was the first parish that had the apostolic mission to the Polish immigrants back in the late 19th century, or 1867 is when it was founded, and it became one of the largest parishes in the world. And then, at the turn of the century, from the 19th to the 20th. So, I mean, you just take the 1 year, 1892, we had, there were 4,000 students in the school. Can you imagine that?
I cannot imagine.
School of 4,000 students, 70 sisters who taught in the school, and you had, you know, a dozen priests here in the church, in the parish, and Teresa Dujic, Mother, Venerable Mother Mary Teresa Dujic, started the Chicago Franciscan Sisters from this parish. The bulletproof vest was founded invented by one of the Resurrectionist brothers.
Wow.
This was after the assassination of the mayor of Chicago. I think his name was Harris. Mm-hmm. And that inspired the brother to invent this bulletproof the bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, everything changed, and it became not so much Polish immigrant, but Polish American, and then with the expressway coming in, it changed the neighborhood, and then it became more. Then you had the new immigration of Latinos, Puerto Ricans, and then Mexicans. But by the time I got here, it was this whole area of Chicago was really run down.
Yeah,
good people, great people. At least we had a lot. We had whereas St. John Cantius and Holy Trinity were really on the verge of a death.
Mm-hmm.
We because of the Mexican immigration here, right. that we had ministry to the in Spanish, we had a strong community. It was a poor community, mm-hmm. but a very, very vibrant community. But the church was very poor, and it was falling apart as well. And so then gentrification happened, and that forced a lot of the Latino people out of the neighborhood. They still come back.
Mm-hmm.
But so we've, since we consecrated the parish to the Blessed Virgin Mary at her request, we've gone through a restoration as well. And so we're all, in that sense, we're 24/7, we're open all the time. And we still minister to Polish, English, and Spanish. So we have masses in English, Polish, and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
We have six masses on Sunday, and the church is open. And so we've just increased confession time, which means my Sunday is completely, completely consumed apart from 1 hour, which I tend to use as a holy hour in my chapel because... It's working out really nice, but the point is that we call this Our Lady's Triangle, Saint John Cantius, Holy Trinity, and Saint Stanislaus Kostka, and so Saint John Cantius initiates the processions because they've got the manpower
mm-hmm.
and the woman power, but really they've just got a lot of people, and so they. That's been part of the restoration is, you know, they bring back processions and the vestments and what's always made Catholicism so photogenic, mm-hmm. you know, and they do just a great job at that. And so they had the night procession. They had the Mass at 6:00. I had Mass here at 7:00. So we had a lot of people here at Mass mm-hmm. who were they weren't able to make the procession,
right, but
they were here for Mass.
End.
Because after the Mass at 7:00, they processed from St. John Cantius, the Holy Trinity. They went in with Our Lady of Fatima, because mm-hmm. that was the anniversary of the miracle
yeah.
of the Son, the last apparition of Our Lady of Fatima. And they processed to Holy Trinity. They went inside Holy Trinity. I don't know what they actually did in Holy Trinity, but then they came from me. And because I had finished the Mass, and so mm-hmm. I went upstairs to put my cassock on and change my vestments because we were going to do the benediction, expose the Blessed Sacrament, and do the benediction when they arrive here. And so I was upstairs changing into the cassock. Getting out of my vestments for the Mass and changing into the cassock and surplice and the stole, and I could hear the bells at Holy Trinity. So I knew they were at Holy Trinity because they're going to, once they get to Holy Trinity, then the bells would receive them. And so I knew they were just down the street a couple blocks away. Then by the time I got down here, moments later, they said, you know, they're already leaving Holy Trinity. And so we put our bells on, and so they're coming, they cross Division Street and come down Noble. But Tony, when it came into the church, it was unbelievably beautiful. The
wow.
servers, it seemed like there were probably 30 torches and the beautiful, but led by the crucifix,
right.
and you had all the servers and all the canons, and you had other sodalities or societies mm-hmm. and banners. It was just. Mm. It was so moving. People who were in the church, but who weren't part of the procession. Mm-hmm. Some people had never seen something like that. In fact, I had a woman come up to me after the Mass, after the benediction, and she said, "I've never ever seen anything like this.
Wow.
Anything like this." And the church, by the time they got in, it was so packed. The people were standing,
mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to share a little bit of what I said because it's what I've said before,
yeah.
but it seemed appropriate to repeat it because I just had a little, you know, spoke a little bit after everybody came in to greet them, and mm-hmm. then we went and I exposed the Blessed Sacrament. We had the just a few minutes of adoration and then the benediction, and then
I feel back completely.
It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And the fact that it's at night and everybody's carrying candles.
Wow.
And when they came into the church and they're singing, you know, as they do at Fatima, Ave, Ave, Ave Maria. You know, it was so beautiful. Yeah, we were in heaven. I mean, we were all stressed the whole day because we wanted everything to go well. Yeah, and for us, it was just, you know, being the host, you know, in a sense, but it was... It was the canons. God bless Brother Mateusz and Father David and that whole little committee. Not little committee, but they're all the canons. But it seemed to me it was it was certainly Brother Mateusz who was coordinating it. But he said, you know, Father David, who came here a couple of times, he says he's working so hard behind, and he had his other groups working with him as well. And, of course, Father Joshua is a pastor there, and Father Andrzej is a pastor at Holy Trinity. So it was, and we were in the, so if you could envision it in the church, so on the, along the altar rail were all the servers. Then behind the servers in the first, we had four benches, four pews that were reserved for the canons and for the people that were dressed. The people came dressed as in their Polish traditional outfits from Holy Trinity.
I don't know if this... It warrants news, but I would love to have seen somebody tape this, you know, if not the procession or just...
I just wrote a note to Father Joshua, and I said, it would have been so nice for the Pope and the prelates to have been present, because they would see the faith of the people, you know, the faith of the people, this beautiful manifestation of faith.
Because I remember even the processions, like Broken Mary... When we did that it was so beautiful to see. And I don't know, I you know, when you think of all the, you know, peaceful protesting and the riots that go on, and just the fact that, you know, when somebody does it the proper way, I believe.
So radically different.
It is. It's even the processions we have, and this, it's hard for people to understand, because it's not always about, look, I'm going to shove this in your face. It's not that. It's... When we do the procession, it's you see people, how, you know, their
reaction. Yeah, it's prayer.
It's a prayerful walk,
and it is very photogenic. I mean, people. I had a guy, because they left Our Lady of Fatima here through the night.
Wow.
Because our doors are open, so, you know, people could come and go anytime they want.
God, I feel so bad. It completely blew my mind.
Yeah, it was. I wish you could have been there. Yeah. Was Angelica here?
I don't think. See, we're in a delicate situation.
No, and it's the case with a lot of people. But it was.
That's why, again, this is something that would be beautiful if it was recorded, that you can at least.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you, they had the Eucharistic Congress in Hungary, in Budapest, I think it was, about a month ago, maybe a little bit over a month. They had hundreds of thousands of people.
Wow.
It was so beautiful. I saw the, I saw clippings of it, or, you know, I saw, what do they call that? You know, you filming of it. They videotaped it. Not the whole procession, but I saw, they said that people, as they were, hundreds, it blew everybody away, because nobody expected there would be so many, and it was so beautifully done. Hundreds of thousands of people. And people that were, because they were going down the main streets of Budapest, and people who were out eating, you know, people eat on the, they said that people got down on their knees.
Wow.
Got down on their knees. They even said this procession last night was coming around. Of course, it blocked the traffic. Mm-hmm. And somebody said people were probably really angry. I said, I don't know. I think people were probably just in awe, impressed, because as I said, at the end of it all, after we dispersed, as we were dispersing, and they had buses to take people back to St. John Canisius and all that, and there were a lot of parking lot was full of cars. Uh-huh. People parked here and then walked over there. But I had people from the neighborhood who came, and they said they saw the procession. They didn't know what was going on, but it brought them into the church. And I saw one guy who hadn't been in the church. I've never seen him in the church before. Mm-hmm. And yet he's a longtime neighbor, just a good neighbor just down the street, and a Catholic. And he was just overwhelmed by it.
It is interesting you say that, because even when we did the Broken Mary, and it was in church there, I met people that I haven't seen in a long time, and I've met family members that I wouldn't have known, you know, were there. And it's just everybody took the walk. We walked all the way to Michigan Avenue, and it's just this, the walk in peaceful prayer, or, you know, I don't think people, I think we were praying. We were praying the rosary.
Yeah.
And it was just, the time went by so fast.
The pictures of that was, those were astounding pictures. Yeah. I saw, because that was kind of coming into the nighttime too, right?
Yeah, it was like, yeah,
going down Chicago Avenue toward Michigan Avenue.
In fact, I think we came back, well, when we started, it was already getting dark. So it was, by the time we got to Michigan Avenue, it was... Yeah.
Just beautiful. This is, kudos. Can I say kudos? Mm-hmm. Thanks to the canons, Father Joshua and the canons, and Father Andrzej at Holy Trinity. And just because, you, again, that's a very tight community, because it is homogeneous. It's all Polish, whereas we're a very mixed group over here. But we had a number of people that participated as well. I was surprised, because the other thing they did, and real quick, is they had different groups from each parish carry the Blessed Mother, so that one group carried for a while, and then, like, our group, we had our four guys from our parish, they carried.
That's
they were
great.
Dressed in Mexican outfits, I think they were supposed to. I didn't see them because I was in the church, and once they got into the church, there were so many people, it was just a mass, just full of people. Very beautiful. But all right, well,
there is a lot of work that goes into doing, preparing for that.
That's why I sent a note to Brother Mateusz as well, because he was he worked so hard on this, and he did a great job. And Father David and the rest of the canons. Just a beautiful job. It was very, very impressive. So I just, that gives you hope, you know. It really brings hope and that's why I say I wish everybody could experience. This is what's needed, you know. We got to take to the streets. But as you said, take to the streets in a way that is radically different from what we saw a couple of years ago or a year and a half ago, or what we still see in the streets of Chicago. If you want to call it a protest, and it wasn't. It really, the whole thing was to pray for peace in the city of in our city, and in the nation. So, because Our Lady said conversion, pray the rosary for conversion and for peace, and if we don't, there will be dire consequences. Yeah. And it's what man does to man, man's inhumanity to man, and we certainly saw it play itself out in the last century, where millions upon millions upon millions of people were exterminated, put to death, the two major wars. But she said, if man doesn't convert, if he doesn't repent, convert, this is the whole gospel message, there can be no peace. And she spoke about the destruction of the family, the annihilation of nations, the impurity and the just sins against the flesh. She spoke about the divisions within the church, a cardinal against cardinal, bishop against bishop. She said you got to pray for the Pope. The message is, as I said the other day, as pertinent or maybe more pertinent today than even a little over 100 years ago, because that was 1917 was the 100th anniversary of the apparition. And it was actually on the May the 13th that we had the procession, same procession here to St. Stan's. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750. WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
Please bring your family to the cross outside of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, Saturday, October 16th at 12 noon, to join the thousands of faithful across the nation to pray the rosary for peace as Our Lady of Fatima requested. St. Stanislaus Koska is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststanschurch.org.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
When we're in crisis, where do we turn? We turn to our first responders, the people who run to danger to protect us. These days, our first responders do not often receive the acknowledgement they deserve for their bravery and personal sacrifice. On Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish celebrates a blue mass recognizing our first responders, including police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. Come and celebrate with us at the blue mass Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, the two Tonys. I want to share with I've said this before, but it kind of re-inspired me, you know, a reflection that I had done. And I use the opportunity. I've got a reputation for speaking very long, so they made me know that I.
You better cut it short.
Yeah, you know. So I felt a little bit bad, but that's okay. I understand. They've been in procession and
all
that.
Well, let's see. How do I do this in a short span?
Right.
It's not easy.
People know that I ramble and they know that I talk long.
I don't think you ramble. You just.
But I just have so much. There's so much I want to say. That's always sometimes at Mass. I say, if I could keep you guys here for 3 hours, I would.
I would stay.
So it was brother. My sister says, make sure it's short. Keep it short. You know. I said, you're worried. I can see you're worried that I'm not going to. Well, you know, you got the reputation for talking long, so. Keep it short. So I did. I tried to.
In obedience.
But I want to go back to the, because I thought it was appropriate as it came into St. Stanislaus Kostka. And of course I want to go back to that mural. Mm-hmm. We have this mural that's, if those who are familiar with the church, St. Stanislaus Kostka, and all three of these churches are unbelievably beautiful. Ours is probably the simpler of the three. But there's a certain beauty in that simplicity, but it's still it's still got I don't want to use the word ornate, but it's not your typical. This isn't a modern parish. I mean, mm-hmm. The parish was built in 1872, and we've all three been through major restoration, so they're all just absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. But we had the mural. It was called the Triumph of the Risen Christ, which was so darkened and you couldn't see. Not only that, but the mural before it, or below it rather, of Saint Stanislaus Kostka, mm-hmm. receiving the baby, the Christ Jesus from the Mother, the Holy Mother, that was also blackened as well. Everything was so dark, you couldn't see it. And but anyway, I wanted to make reference to that in view of what's going on in the church and the confusion and the unrest and a certain angst as to what's really going on. I got a couple of things to share with you, but let me just go back and some of you might recall me saying this before, but and this goes back to the first Easter, the very first Easter, the grief of the weeping. Mary Magdalene, her weeping turned to joy when the risen Christ revealed himself to her at the empty tomb. Calling her by name, Jesus sent her to bring good news to the disciples that he lives forevermore. He wished to meet them, to instruct them, and to send them. And so in trembling joy, Mary Magdalene ran from the empty tomb to the cenacle where the apostles hid for fear that their association with the crucified Jesus would seal for them a similar fate. Reaching them, she announced with efficacious joy, "I have seen the Lord." And with those words, history pivoted into a definitive change forevermore. Now, 2 years later, 2,000 years later, we are passing through a universal and unprecedented diabolical disorientation. The great apostasy forewarned by the Lord is a present-day reality. speak about this all the time, doctrinal, spiritual, and moral corruption at all levels of the church are ever before us. There's no denying that. And we have to speak to that. Fear and distrust leave us feeling overly stressed, full of anxiety, and wondering, to whom shall we go? Who will deliver us from the deceit that allures us to the demise, the death of things familiar and sacred? To whom do we have recourse? But as happens when history dangles on the precipice of doom, and the church with it, a light begins to emerge from the dark. A fragrance begins to dispel the stench of impending death, and good sets out in defeat of evil. Humble forces are awakened that confound the high and the mighty to topple them from their pedestals of power, that the reign of the risen one be restored. So we do not underestimate the subtle ways the risen Christ reminds us to fear not, to be at peace, to move forward, a humble force in mission. So at this very crucial time, moment in time, just a few years ago, here at St. Stanislaus Kostka, a long-hidden masterpiece was providentially unveiled, and a prophetic treasure again graces the Archdiocese of Chicago. The mural, named Triumph of the Risen Christ, after decades in eclipse, speaks to the disciples of our age, an answer to our woes. Because in the mural, the ancients of old, the saints of the past, hidden from our view until recently, are now shown anew with a simple yet poignant message. And this is their message, as I reflect on this, to us here today, in our time, the only time we have. Turn your eyes to the risen Lord and pick up where we left off. We are with you. We intercede on your behalf. The victory that is ours is yours as well. In our time, we fought the good fight. You do the same in yours. With us, joyfully proclaim, we have seen the Lord. Now the risen Lord wishes to meet you, to instruct you, and to send you. He calls you by name. That's each and every one of you, those of you who are listening. He calls you by name. The trajectory of history is toward the beatific vision. Eyes fixed on the risen Lord, you are changed, or you are charged, rather, you are charged to lead the way. So go now. The night is near, the day far spent. Fear not, peace unto you, he reigns forevermore. So that was my message. And then, because we had Our Lady Fatima, that through the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we now turn our eyes to him. He reminds us, as I repeat so often those last words he spoke in his farewell discourse, in this world you will have trouble, but take courage, be at peace, I've conquered the world. And so it was from there that we then exposed the Blessed Sacrament.
Wow.
To turn our eyes to Christ. And really that is, you got to think about this, everybody. That's, for us as Catholics, that's our, you know, Christ, when he said the night before he died, he says, I go to my Father and your Father there to prepare a place for you, that where I am you will be. So that's the trajectory of history, is the beatific vision, to behold God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the kingdom, to go to our, the trajectory is the beatific vision, which will be sufficient in and of itself, but we'll be there in the communion of the saints and our ancestors, all those who kept the faith, who died in the grace of God. Jesus also said, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will come back and remain with you. And he's with us in the Word of God, sacred scripture in the apostolic tradition, the magisterial teachings of the church, but literally he remains with us in the sacraments, whereby grace is conferred and we are, you know, not only, it's like the woman in the gospel who said, if I could just but touch, you know, she had been suffering for 12 years, I think, in one of the gospels, it was 18 years, a terrible sickness. And she said, if I could but, she was, there was all the crowd was hemming in on Jesus. And she said, if I could but just touch the hem of his garment, I know, I trust I will be healed. And so she crawled in the midst of all these people. She crawled and she touched his garment. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me. Somebody has touched me. Because I felt power go out of me. And the disciples kind of chided Jesus and said, Jesus, everybody's touching you. He says, but no, somebody touched me. I felt the power go out of me. And she was trembling, and she says, sir, I touched you. He says, woman, your faith has healed you. You know, it's not that we even touched the garment of Jesus. He comes to us, we go to him in Holy Communion. Again, it begins with our coming to the Holy Mass in faith, in gratitude that we've been redeemed, we've been saved through the blood of the cross. And so we come and we offer, and so our salvation from a slavery to sin and death is an act that happened once in time, 2,000 years ago, on the Mount of Golgotha, on Calvary, but is perpetuated. It's the fount of the divine mercy, because we're still sinners, and we've yet to die, so that salvific and sanctifying grace is perpetuated, renewed, represented, but not repeated. It's not a repetition, it's a perpetuation, a representation. In other words, that same Paschal mystery, salvific act, is renewed, perpetuated, represented on the altar of sacrifice. And so we, like that woman, we come in gratitude, knowing what she didn't know, because this is that preceded salvation and redemption, we're on the other side of that. And so we go in gratitude, but to touch him, he comes to touch us, but we have to offer our lives, we have to come in gratitude and with a desire to renew our covenant with the Lord. We offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. I keep repeating it because when I heard that, this year, it just struck me, that is the Mass. That's what do you do in Mass? You offer your lives, we collectively speaking, but individually, we offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. And in doing so, Jesus comes to us. So it's not only that we touch him, but we feed on him. He gives himself, his body, his blood, his soul, and divinity. He literally feeds us with himself. Like he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you, life unto eternity. And when the disciples said, well, how can you give us your flesh to eat your blood? He just said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you will have life. And they walked away, the apostasy, the first apostates. They went away. This is terrible. This is, who can accept this? They went away. And Jesus, looking at the 12 apostles, knowing that one would betray him, he says, do you wish to go as well? And Peter said, Lord, where do we go? Maybe we can't comprehend, we don't know, but we believe you have the life, the words of life everlasting, we choose to stay with you. And so that procession last night that began with the Mass at the three decades of the Rosary in procession and ended with benediction, are looking, gazing on the Lord with a benediction, is a manifestation of faith that, Lord, we are with you. So when Jesus says, and again, I know I repeat this all the time, but when the Son of Man comes, when he comes at the end of time, will there be faith in the world? Are the hearts of many that have gone cold? And that procession last night, and every time we participate in the Holy Mass or pray the Rosary or just pray from our heart, we're saying, Lord, by your grace, you will find faith because I keep the faith. And though I may think my faith is but the size of a mustard seed, Jesus said that's sufficient. It'll move the mountain. So we gotta keep that in mind, you know. And that was the great beauty of the event, this religious procession. I hate to even call it an event because it sounds kind of secular, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But this religious this was a religious manifestation of faith that would truly confound the wise of this world. So I can't right now. I'm just overwhelmed by the absolute beauty and the faith, the manifestation of faith. It was just coming from the hearts of the people. You could just feel it. You know how you can just feel the people are really disposed and really receptive, and the strength people get from each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're together in this, you all of a sudden realize, my gosh, I'm not alone in this world. That people, they're with me. We really are. It really is. When you talk about the mystical body of Christ, put aside the institution of the church, and that's why I say I wish Pope and prelates could experience this from the Anawim, from the little people, the humble people. I say humble, but we all know we're full of pride and full of ourselves and all that, but we're at least, we seek to die to ourselves, to lose ourselves, to decrease in order that Christ live, that he be found, that he increase. But it really was something that came from the heart of the people. This was truly a manifestation of the mystical body of Christ. You could even feel the saints and the angels present, you know?
And that's a beautiful experience.
Really beautiful. All right, going to take a break again. This will be the final break, I guess. I'm Father Anthony, or maybe not. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
When we're in crisis, where do we turn? We turn to our first responders, the people who run to danger to protect us. These days, our first responders do not often receive the acknowledgement they deserve for their bravery and personal sacrifice. On Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish celebrates a blue mass recognizing our first responders, including police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. Come and celebrate with us at the Blue Mass Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, and you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Please bring your family to the cross outside of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, Saturday, October 16th at 12 noon, to join the thousands of faithful across the nation to pray the Rosary for peace as Our Lady of Fatima requested. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Gosh, Nick, my condolences. I heard just now that Lucky, your cat, just passed away. He was worried about that yesterday. That was, God, that's so hard. Yeah, you're welcome. Our prayers with the family. I'll tell you, the animals are a great gift to people, to families. Wow, I'm so sorry. Because I know yesterday he was pretty upset about that, and it was just because the cat just seemed to be, they didn't even know he was sick, he just seemed to be different, right?
Yeah, he was just acting.
Yeah.
And I was telling Nick, I've had this experience so many times.
Yeah.
So it's, you know.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that. Yesterday I thought it was just that he was just, you know, cats are a little finicky sometimes.
Yeah.
And anyway, we pray for the family because that's a loss. It's like cats, dogs are like members of the family, you know. They are members of the family, aren't they? Wow. Today's a feast of St. Callistus first, and I wanted to read this to you because it kind of, puts things in perspective, you know. The sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. So he's quoting Paul in his letter to the Romans. This is actually St. Cyprian, who was also a martyr. Callistus was martyred in 222 in the 3rd century. But St. Cyprian goes on, who would not strive wholeheartedly to attain to such glory, to become a friend of God, and straightway rejoice with Christ, receiving heavenly rewards after earth's torment and suffering? Soldiers of this world take pride in returning to their home country in triumph after they have defeated the enemy. How much greater is the glory in returning triumphantly to heaven after conquering the devil? The bold deceiver is laid low. The trophies of victory are restored to the place from which Adam was cast out for his sin. We offer to the Lord a most acceptable gift, our incorrupt faith, the unshaken courage of our spirit, and the glorious pride of our dedication. We accompany him when he comes to take vengeance on his enemies, sitting at his side at the judgment seat, sharing in Christ's inheritance. We are on an equal footing with the angels and enjoy the possession of a heavenly kingdom together with the patriarchs, the apostles, and prophets. What persecution can defeat such thoughts? What torture overwhelm them? The spirit of a strong and stable character, strengthened by meditation, endures. This unshaken spirit, which is strengthened by a certain and solid faith in the future, will be enlivened against all the terrors of the devil and threats of this world. During persecution, the earth is closed off from us, but heaven lies open. The Antichrist threatens, but Christ protects us. Death is brought on, but eternal life follows. What an honor, what happiness to depart joyfully from this world, to go forth in glory from the anguish and pain, in one moment to close the eyes that looked on a world, the world of men, and in the next to open them at once to look on God and Christ. The speed of this joyful departure, you are suddenly withdrawn from earth to find yourself in the kingdom of heaven. These are the thoughts you might grasp, that you must grasp with your heart and mind and reflect on day and night. If persecution should overtake such a soldier of God, it will not overcome one so virtuously prepared for battle. Even if our summons should come sooner, our faith, which was prepared for the witness of martyrdom, will not go unrewarded, for we would immediately receive our reward by God's judgment. In time of persecution, the battle wins the crown, but in peace, It is the testimony of a good conscience. It's a powerful reading, isn't
yeah.
it? This is actually be a good reading for at a funeral, but I don't know. I just feel today, and this is where I think, again, I go back to this procession yesterday, the Mass, the procession, the benediction, and what a contrast, as you mentioned, to the kind of stuff we saw last year, the burning of buildings, the looting, the shootings, the violence and all this is such a contrast to this religious procession. These were like crusaders, you know. They were like, as they came in the ships, like crusaders, peaceful. Our weapon is the rosary. Our weapon is Christ present among us in the sacraments, principally speaking in the Holy Eucharist. And if we live, if we, you know, I think the world is getting so nuts, so crazy. The nation is so radically different. Again, there's nothing new under the sun, but things are so radically different from what we knew when we were kids, at least those of us who are much older, that as I mentioned in the little reflection before, to whom do we have recourse? You know, from where comes our hope? What's the future? Well, nobody knows the future. But we know that if we don't abide in God and allow God to abide in us, if we don't obey the commandments of God, which ensure the proper ordering of society, if we don't allow the Spirit to lift us to a life of high virtue, but we live egocentric, selfish, in a kind of narcissism, or if we're just seeking power and the riches of this world and prestige and all these things that are passing away, then, you know, what's there? The world is passing away. And as St. Cyprian said, as many of the saints have said, if we can just keep this before us, that we're destined, see, we're not condemned to be here forever, yet we're lovers of life. And we're foolish to think that we're going to befriend the world. Again, that's the world that's not under the dominion of God. Or that would be the you know, giving ourselves free rein to the flesh, or succumbing to the seductive and the deceptive, the illusory powers or tactics of the enemy. We have an enemy. There is evil. And today, people, it's hard to, you can't deny it. You know, I was just reading this morning, or just heard this morning about the young girl who was raped in the washroom in her school by a so-called transgender a boy who was dressed as a girl, you know, because it's all permitted.
Boys allowed in the woman's bathroom.
If they think they're, you know, I mean that's, I mean the bizarre things that are going on. And the fact that, you know, there doesn't seem to be regard for the virtue of truth. I don't know how some people sleep at night, to be honest. You know, I don't know how they sleep at night. So many of the media people. I mean, you know, I really am sickened more and more by, you know, this fixation on these celebrities and, you know, this interest people have in the stuff of their lives, and you know, it's so superficial, and so not just superficial, but it's absolutely sinful, much of this stuff.
And thinking that person, he, she, him, her, whoever,
they
did it, they did it twice. That person did it twice.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was another person, too. It's just like, It wasn't the first time. So you sit and try to figure these things out, and again, I think back on just learning my faith, and there's a lot of things I don't accept too. I'll be honest, I'm human.
In the faith?
In the faith. You know, things we're supposed to believe. But I'll be honest, I didn't walk away.
But you,
you know what I'm saying? I didn't, and I know I'm making two different things here, but I think about my faith, things I can't understand at first. You know, I wish I can give you an example. I can't think of one right now.
I get what you're saying.
But I never walked away,
yeah.
And I realized that in time, you'll understand it. And
so
that's
right. What's accepting in faith.
Yes.
That's Peter's response. You know, Lord, to whom do we go?
Exactly. But I think to these people that kind of, if you're of the mind that everybody is equal and everybody should do certain things, or that you may feel like somebody else, you in a man's body, you may feel. Again, if we go down this path, and what I say is, some people may honestly believe these things, but then they hear things like this. So how do you pick and choose the things you believe?
Well, there's no end to it. You know,
you got to think at a point. Just like, again, if there's so many different, you know, what do they say? There's so many different, there's man, male, female, and you know, transgender, all these different, and where does it stop?
See, it would take a great humility to just acknowledge the fact that we have disorder in our lives.
Yeah.
And because I'll tell you, where does this go? It started, with the acceptance of, you know, we redefined the marriage between a man and a woman. Now, why can you not then, you know, and if you can do that, then certainly you can redefine marriage as a man married to five women.
Yeah.
Or you can redefine marriage as, you can make it whatever you want.
Exactly.
But it also goes into this too. You know, what if somebody believes, right now, certainly, and not like, I'm white, which is not supposedly a good thing to be these days, but what if I really, 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 really believed I was African American, or I was Chinese, or I was Latino, or an African American white, or whatever. I mean, why, if you can
change who you are.
If you can change, if you can say, okay, I was born a man, but I'm actually a woman. I'm visibly white, but I see myself as black or African American or whatever. I mean, where does it all stop? You know, this is where and we're just out of time now, but we're just getting off into that. But, I go back to the procession. Let me just end there.
Good place.
To recultivate what is a reality, and that is we were made by God and for God. And if we need to be woke, it's to be woke or awakened to the divine within us that holds us bound to reality, to truth, which will set us free. Everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time. to hide the wind.